Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ask Dr. Karen. I'm the Happy Meemaw, your host today here on WWER 88.1 FM, and I'm happy to be joined once again by Dr. Karen Self-Sullivan. Dr. Karen offers personalized training and behavior modification for dogs and their people in the greater Fredericksburg and Northern Neck areas of Virginia. She's provided private personalized service to dogs and their families across the area, and she's accessible at www.askdrkaren.com. And today, we're once again going to address questions that have come to her from dog owners, and she's going to give us some ideas about some specific topics today. So welcome back, Dr. Karen. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to join you again. So we can provide some info to these doggy parents. There's lots of them out there, and I know they're listening, and this is going to be good info for all of them. So today we're going to address some questions that relate to three different types of service dogs, ADA service dogs, emotional support dogs, and therapy dogs.
I'm so excited to talk about this. I am picking up a new service dog puppy to raise for Service Dogs of Virginia on Monday.
Oh, that's great.
This is quite timely for me. I'm excited to be raising a new puppy for this nonprofit out of Charlottesville and to answer questions from people that would like to have their own service dog.
That's wonderful. And this really is an important topic because obviously we see people with their dogs out much more than we ever have. And a lot of times people do have specific questions about the service of the dog, you know, what are their qualifications, that type of thing. So hopefully this will help people understand all of this a little bit better and answer some of those questions and help those dog owners as well. So the first question that we have for you today, the question is, I have PTSD and I want to get my dog Bruno certified as a service dog. Can you train and certify Bruno for me?
I get this question a lot. And the most important point I'd like to make is that there is no certification required for service dogs under the Americans with Disabilities Act. You can train your own service dog, or you can have it trained, or you can get a service dog from an accredited organization, a nonprofit, that trains service dogs for people with disabilities. The most important thing to remember is that you have to have a disability as defined by the Americans with Disabilities Act, and that your dog has to do something specifically for you to assist you with that disability. Some of those examples include seeing eye dogs, hearing impaired people that alert when there's a sound that the person can't hear, mobility dogs who can help people that have problems with their mobility. But the question you've asked is about PTSD. And the good news is that PTSD is classified as a disability under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So what you need to do is to train your dog to be able to assist you when you are having problems with this traumatic stress time in your life. Probably the most important thing from my perspective is that the dog has to behave appropriately in public. In addition to having to do a specific task to help you with your disability, the dog has to behave in public. And that means the dog is supposed to focus totally on you and not to react to dogs or people that are around it.
That's great information. And a lot of people probably had no idea. They probably thought there was some type of protocol or lots of paperwork they had to go through. So that's really good information.
And unfortunately, there are a lot of commercial companies on the internet that are selling products that you can put on your dog to identify it as a service dog. Under the ADA, you don't have to have a specific vest. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to have a certification. So I just tell people to beware. Call me. I will answer your questions for free over the phone, and we can get you started on the right path.
That's great. I think I told you before, I had a friend who was a wounded warrior, Army Wounded Warrior, and she lost most of her sight, and she had a service dog who could take her clothes basket over and load her clothes into the washer for her. And I told her, I need the name of wherever that dog was trained so I could send my kids there, because my kids don't even do that. So it's pretty amazing what service dogs can do. And it's great that, you know, they have that ability, and that's something that helps our wounded warriors and people with disabilities every day. So our next question, I'm training my own ADA service dog. She is 1 year old and has learned all her basic commands, but when we are in public, she's extremely hard-headed and only responds to the command, quote, if she feels like it. Sometimes I worry that she is losing her hearing. She will often just stop walking and even lay down and refuse to get up.
It's great that you have a dog that has learned a lot of behaviors to assist you with your disability. Unfortunately, the dogs need to be able to do this in public as well as in the privacy of your home. Otherwise, you could get stranded and not have the support that you've become dependent on. The word that pops out to me is if she feels like it. And this rings a bell in my head that says that it's probably not that she's hard-headed. It's probably that she is under stress. So maybe there's something going on out there in the environment that's causing her to have difficulty responding to your cue. Or it could be that she doesn't fully understand the cue in the situation that you're in. So when we train dogs, we train them usually in our home, in a training space, but then we have to move that training outside into the public, into places where there are distractions, and train it over and over again until they're reliable. We expect our service dogs to be 90% reliable in public. There's always going to be something that's going to be so distracting that your dog might not be able to respond to its cue. But if you have trained it in your home and then moved it outside and then moved it into public situations with formal training sessions, then your dog should be reliable.
That sounds really good and very good advice for this one-year-old hard-headed pup that probably isn't.
Yeah, the other thing to remember is that she's only a year old. Now,
right.
In the professional business where I volunteer for Service Dogs of Virginia, we don't generally place our service dogs until they're 2 years old because they're still going through a developmental period. From birth to 2 years, they're constantly changing. Their brains are changing. Their impulse control is changing. Their ability to do work in certain situations is changing. So I think if you put another year of training in with your dog, she'll probably do just fine.
Yeah, they're probably better at 14 human years than 7 human years, I guess. So that's good. That's good info. Okay, our next one is, my daughter is a disabled vet that has major anxiety issues, which has recently forced her to quit her job. Our dog has proven to be excellent at alerting her to an upcoming anxiety attack. Daisy is a 2-year-old Chihuahua and does have some issues. She has some anxiety and reacts to certain strangers, especially men. We're hoping to train Daisy as a service animal. She needs basic training in addition to the service animal training. Can you help us?
Wow, it sounds like Daisy's a natural. She's already learned to alert to the anxiety attack. And that's the main job that you want Daisy to do. Unfortunately, she hasn't become comfortable in public in all situations. So the process that you would take to desensitize her is very slow, and it requires that you work with her below threshold. In other words, you never want to expose her to a situation where she's going to react to a stranger. Now, that might mean for a while you don't take her everywhere that you go, or that you set up specific training sites where you can go and work with her as strangers approach in a controlled environment. Basic training is something that all service dogs need in addition to their specialty training. And honestly, the specialty training is sometimes the hardest. So the fact that she's already learned this is great. The other thing to remember is not all dogs are cut out to be service dogs, at least not public service dogs, because they have some sort of a natural anxiety in their personality. It could be a genetic trait. It could be lack of early socialization. It could be that her mother experienced something when she was in utero. And so she's just naturally more anxious around certain people and in certain situations. So I'd be happy to help you, but I do want to warn you, there are no guarantees that every dog can overcome their anxiety in every situation.
That makes sense. That's good to know. So our next question is, I'm looking for a service dog for myself. I have diabetes and have been told that a service dog can alert me when my sugar is low. Can you help me find a diabetes alert service dog?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you phrased the question that way, because so many people do want to train their own dog, but the best trained service dogs actually come from organizations that are accredited. They're accredited by an international assistance dog organization. And that means the dog has been raised from a puppy to be able to behave itself in public. It's been tested to make sure that it doesn't have anxiety and it's not reactive to dogs and other people. And it's been trained specifically for the job that you need. So a diabetes alert dog is working on a scent that your body puts off when your sugar is low or your sugar is high. And Service Dogs of Virginia and other service dogs organizations, they do specialize in diabetes alert dogs. Sometimes it takes a little while. You have to get on a waiting list, but I would encourage you to do that. And I'm happy to help you find all of those organizations that raise and train diabetes alert service dogs.
This is just a me question, but are there certain breeds that are better at that than others?
That's a good question. All dogs have incredible abilities to detect scents that humans can't. Dogs have learned to detect the scent that's associated with cancer. They've learned to search for missing people based on scent. They've learned to alert to a certain odor that a soldier, a former soldier or veteran, puts off when they're about to have an anxiety attack because they have this scent in their smell. On their body. And very often people will train specifically for you as an individual. So I wouldn't say that there's one breed that's better than another for detecting a scent, because they're all much better at it than we are. But I would say that using an accredited service dog organization to help find that match that's best for you is really important.
Yeah. And it is important to make sure it's an accredited organization, because I'm sure there are people out there scamming folks that are well-meaning and they get taken.
I wouldn't say that they're all scammers, but there's certainly a lot of dog trainers out there that train for service dogs, and they're generally selling those dogs. So if you go looking for a service dog and someone is going to charge you $10,000, $20,000 for a service dog, I can guarantee you that's not an accredited service dog trainer. Because in order to be accredited, you have to be a nonprofit organization. You cannot charge for the dogs.
Right. That's good to know. That's really good. Okay, our next question. I'm flying for Christmas and have an emotional support animal. The airline says I can no longer bring my emotional support animal dog on the flight for free and keep him on the floor in front of me or in my lap. What has changed?
Yeah, I think it was 2020, the Air Carrier Access Act, referred to as ACAA, changed. And emotional support dogs are no longer considered ADA service dogs. In fact, they were never considered ADA service dogs, but the Air Carrier Access Act did allow for emotional support dogs in addition to ADA service dogs. So now airlines require additional fees and have specific rules for emotional support dogs that's pretty much the same as they are for pet dogs. And this was a decision that was made by the Air Carrier Access, under the Air Carrier Access Act, after having a public hearing. And I think there were something like 15,000 responses when they sent it out for public comment. So it's been seen as a problem for years that a lot of people just want to take their pet with them on, and they really don't have a need for an emotional support animal on that flight. I would say if you use your emotional support animal because you have PTSD or you have panic attacks or something that qualifies under the Americans with Disabilities Act, that you look at making sure that your dog is qualified as an ADA service dog to ensure that you can take that dog on the flight.
So can you talk just a little bit about the difference between an emotional support animal and a therapy dog?
Absolutely. So first of all, the service dogs, the ADA service dogs, that's defined by the Americans with Disabilities Act. And those dogs are allowed almost everywhere their person is allowed. They are individually trained to do work for a specific person with a disability. And as I mentioned before, this includes people that have problems with their sight, with mobility, with allergic reactions, diabetes, PTSD, all these types of disabilities. And I hate that word, but that's how it's defined, a disability under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So dogs whose sole function is to provide comfort or emotional support do not qualify as service animals under the ADA. Dogs that provide therapy, those that are considered a therapy dog, are specially trained dogs that provide emotional support and comfort to individuals in public settings. So a therapy dog doesn't stand alone. It's a therapy dog team. And a therapy dog team is certified by a number of different therapy dog organizations, and that allows them to go into hospitals, schools, nursing homes, libraries. The certification applies to the dog handler team. It also includes liability insurance, which is required by most facilities before a therapy dog team is allowed in to visit the people that are in that facility. So an emotional support dog is a dog that provides you as an individual with emotional support in your daily life. In order to be classified as an emotional support dog, you need a letter from your doctor, your psychiatrist, your therapist saying that you need this dog for emotional support. And they do have some advantages. In other words, there's in the state of Virginia, a landlord can't prohibit you from renting a space because you have an emotional support dog. But you do have to have that letter from your doctor. A therapy dog is not a dog that gets any special access in the public or under the Housing Act, but it's a dog that's specially trained to go with you to visit facilities. And those facilities are going to require that you have some sort of a therapy dog certification training that provides liability insurance. Locally, there's one organization I always recommend, Blue Gray Therapy Dogs out of Fredericksburg, and they are already set up to visit hospitals, nursing homes, homeless shelters, daycare centers, libraries. And so that's a good one to use if you would like to train your dog to be a therapy dog. But being a therapy dog is not going to get you special public access.
So now, if you have a service dog and you walk into a business and they maybe challenge you, is there anything that you can do or have with you to justify and allay any concerns?
Yeah. Basically, they can ask you two questions under the law. They can ask you, do you have this dog because of a disability? And what does this dog do for you? In other words, what special behavior have you trained it for? So an example is, all you have to do is say yes. You do not have to tell them what your disability is. And then you might say, when I drop my keys, my dog picks them up for me. That would be a very simple example of how to answer those two questions. I recommend that if you have a service animal, that you go to the Americans with Disabilities Act website and print out a copy of the frequently asked questions. And so that's just AA.gov, and if you go to their frequently asked questions about service animals, there's a very short one-page piece of paper that you can carry with you in your wallet that you can hand to the business owner and say, look, this is a service dog. This is the law.
And that way you're protected and because I'm sure there are businesses that have people that bring dogs in that maybe aren't socialized very well, and they're concerned. So that's a good way to protect yourself and protect your dog. So another thing I think that comes up some is, you know, you're out and about, and maybe it's you, maybe you have kids, but you see someone with a, you know, basically a working dog. So it's either a therapy dog or not a therapy dog because they're not necessarily out and about, but a service dog. And you or your child would like to pet that dog. Can you talk a little bit about, sometimes their vest will say, you know, I'm working, something like that. But can you talk about what that means and why it's important maybe to either not approach that dog or make sure it's safe to approach that dog? Could you address that a little bit?
Sure. The number one reason or the number one thing that a service dog needs to do is to stay focused on its person. So if I have a service dog, I need that dog to stay focused on me when I'm in public so it can assist me when it determines that I need assistance. If it's distracted by other people, whether it's adults or children that say, oh, what a cute dog, can I pet your dog? This can be distracting and cause the dog to miss something that's really important to its person at that particular point in time. Now, many service dogs owners do allow people to approach. And so the appropriate thing to do is like, hi, I see you have a service dog. Can I approach it? Can I say hi to it? And if the person says no, then respect that. If the person says yes, they're probably going to have some rules. And they're probably going to say something like, yes, you can approach. And if the dog jumps up, I want you to back away.
Right. And listen to that owner. Not all dogs are necessarily there for you to be affectionate with because they are, you know, they are performing a function. It's important that they're focused on their owner and helping them out. So
it's also important from a purely safety perspective that you shouldn't approach any dog. If you're a child, you should ask your parents first and then have your parents ask the dog's owner. If you're an adult, you should always ask before you approach a dog because you just don't know. That dog could be reactive to the purple shirt that you're wearing.
Right.
You know, that dog might be get overly excited when you approach it, and the owner's probably trying to get it to settle down and behave itself before you pet it. So yeah. Always asked.
Absolutely. So let's talk just a little bit. So 2026 is going to be so fun for you because you've got this pup coming in. How long will you work with that puppy to get them trained?
Yeah, the puppy will be 8 weeks old when I pick it up on Monday. And the puppy will stay with me for about a year until it's about 14 months old. During that period of time, I will be doing all of its socialization and basic training. So you'll see me out and about with the puppy. It's a little black lab. It's a boy. I don't have its name yet, but you'll see me out and about. And in that situation, I want people to interact with the puppy. But it'll be wearing a little service dog in training vest. And I'm going to ask that you stop and listen to me and do what I ask you to do in order to help train this puppy. It will do basic training, all of its good manners, learning to go into small spaces, all of the stuff that a service dog needs to do. And then at 14 months, it'll go live with a different volunteer that lives in Charlottesville, close to the training facility. And it'll go into that training facility 2 or 3 times a week to do its advanced training. And then by the time it's 2 years old, it'll be placed with one of Service Dogs of Virginia's clients that have approached them and asked them to help find a service dog.
That's so fun. And that's a great way to kick off a new year. And very, very fortunate that you're there to help out and get that pup started on its way and to be a great service dog and help somebody out. So that's really.
I've raised 8. This will be my one. Yep.
Okay. All right.
If you remember Ren was a service dog puppy and then he retired early and got to stay with me for the rest of his life.
I was going to ask you about that. About what is the duration of time for a service dog? I mean, do they usually stay until the end of their lives or how does that work?
It depends on the dog. The very first puppy that I raised, his name was Carter, and he just passed away this year too. He was 11 years old, and he was placed with his person when he was about 2 years old, and he remained working for her until he was 10 years old. And at that point, she retired him, but he did stay and live with her, even though she got a new service dog. And he passed rather suddenly, also of hemangiosarcoma, one of these awful diseases that hits a lot of our labs. It's a cancer. And he passed this year, not too long after Ren did.
Well,
so
that's
heartbreaking. But
yeah, sure. But what a great thing to know that you served your life, you know, as a dog, helping someone out and making so many friends. And that's really great.
Six to 8 years is pretty normal if everything goes well for a certain dog to be active. Of course, if they have an illness or some other issue, they might be retired early.
Yeah. Well, this has been fantastic information. I think this applies to everybody because even if you don't have a service or therapy or emotional support dog, you know now how all that works and how you should react if you see one and how you should treat them. And it's so good to know that you're available to people if they want to ask these questions or any questions about their dog, because that's your specialty. So we want to make sure that everybody understands that you can go to www.askdrkaren.com and you can pose your question. There's contact information for her on there if you'd like to give her a call or email her. She'll be very responsive. But if you'd like to submit a question that we read on the show, then we would love to have you do that. Thank you all so much for joining us. Wishing you all a wonderful day. Thanks for being here with us at WWER 88.1 FM on Ask Dr. Karen. We hope you'll join us again soon. Have a great day.